Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe.
And I'm Sue Bird.
We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show.
A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
Cousins, Thielen, he's got it!
Garoppolo over the middle, intercepted! Harrison Smith,
it's caught! It's Kyle Rudolph with a Viking touchdown!
All right, welcome in, everybody. Welcome to Bleeding Purple, a podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I am your host, Adam Patrick from thevikingage.com. We are brought to you by betonline.ag, and we are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Joining me, after taking over as the host for the last couple episodes, because my wife decided she wanted to have a baby, is Eric Strack from MinnesotaSportsFan.com. How are we doing, Eric? And I just have a question for you. It's getting warmer out and sunnier out. Are you more of a, like, creamy sunscreen kind of guy or a spray-on sunscreen kind of guy?
Oh, that's your best your best random question to open it up with yet. First, I'd like to say it's nice to have you back.
Hey.
Every episode, I realized how easy I had it, and then you decided to have more children, or your wife, you can blame whoever you want, I guess.
It was a joint effort.
Decided to have more children, and that left me with having to plan episodes and host and find guests or try to find guests, and I didn't do a very good job of that. And, you know, so it was like, now you're back. When you texted me, I sent you the thank God.
Yes,
thank God Adam's coming back. So this is the most excited I've been to record a podcast, not just this podcast, but any podcast for a long time. I'm just happy to have you back and happy to have you take over. And I'm definitely spray on sunscreen kind of guy, because the less that you have to get all lathered up in your hands, the better.
Yeah, I'm super, super pasty. So I have to wear sunscreen no matter what. Even there's times where I'm like, oh, I'm fine, I don't need to wear it. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I live in Southern California, I always have to wear it. So if at the very least I do the spray, but you know, if I'm going to the beach, I gotta get the, like, I have to put like baby sunscreen on, because I'm that white and I burn that easily, and I have to reapply. It's just really annoying. Especially if you put the sunscreen on and then you go in the water and then you get sand all over you, and you put sunscreen on again and you're like rubbing sand all over you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. See, I never had to be that guy. See, like,
yeah, I don't think I'm living in the right climate. I mean, I love living out here, but it's not meant for people like myself who are fair skinned and need to wear lots of sunscreen. So.
I'm the one that I have to either wear sunscreen for like the first handful of times I go out, otherwise just get burnt to a crisp one time, and then the rest of the summer I'm tan and don't really have to worry about it. But now that I'm old, it's about more than just do I burn or not. It becomes more like I don't want skin cancer, so I'm going to wear sunscreen. So, I mean, when you get old, you start to realize that there's bigger reasons than just pain you feel the next day from sunburn.
And then there's my wife, who's Italian, and her dad's from Sicily, and she just goes outside and she comes back and she's brown.
Yeah, one of our...
no sunscreen. She's like, I'm going to put oil all over my body. I'm like, what? I could never do that.
You're thinking of when you see that oil go out, you instantly think of what an egg looks like when you pour it into an oiled pan and it starts sizzling.
Second degree burns if I have to go to the hospital.
Yeah, one of our co-hosts that I brought in while you were gone, Brandon, he's got...
I noticed
he's partly Native American, and so he is like, he doesn't give two shits. He is outside, skin, like, come on, son, bring it on. And
yeah,
obviously
I
he gets
that
his son.
Because he was missing something during recording.
He's not a big fan of shirts. If you've ever watched Trailer Park Boys, he's a lot like Randy, except a little bit of a different body build.
A little bit. All right, so let's get into the Vikings, since this is a Vikings podcast.
Yeah, I guess.
So there's still, you know, since I've been gone, this pandemic's been going on. It seems like it's getting a little better in some places, the places that have, you know, been smart about things.
Right.
But things seem to be pretty optimistic about the NFL is going to have a season, like, no matter what. It's one, it's May. The season starts in September, so there's lots of time for things to get better, things to get worse too. But there still isn't like a definitive if there will be fans or not in the stands. So my question is, if there are no fans in 2020, which is a pretty good possibility, are the Vikings' chances to succeed next season better or worse?
I would say that they are better, if anything. And the only reason why I say that is because, I mean, Kirk Cousins kind of gave it away himself. I kind of feel like that because of Kirk Cousins. I don't think a bunch of crowd noise necessarily helps his game in a good way. Like, he's an analytical, like, I put in all of my work during the week. I, you know, numbers, all of that. He even said it, what was it on a, I don't remember who he was doing an interview with, but he said it himself, like, it would be kind of nice to it be quiet. And he kind of got some pushback on that from the fans. And it's
surprisingly, people took that out of context.
Right. And so I would say because of Kirk Cousins, like, compared to Tom Brady, who I get it, Tom Brady works for it, but like, you can, he gets amped up. Brett Favre, another guy who just feeds off of that crowd atmosphere. Because Kirk Cousins isn't that type of quarterback, it could almost help them. Where it could hurt them, on the other hand, is at home, where we have such a big home field advantage when our defense is on the field. That could definitely come back to bite them, possibly. But hey, I mean, are they making rules against pumping in crowd noise? Because if not, then we did it in the Metrodome during the World Series. Maybe, maybe not. So, I mean, we could do it at the Vikings Stadium, too.
Yeah, I think it was Joe Buck who said, like, if there aren't fans, they're going to try and, at least on the TV broadcast, have some artificial crowd noise. I think there was a German soccer league who's been trying that out.
Did you see the soccer league that had blow up sex dolls in their stands?
Wasn't that Korean baseball?
I think it was Korean baseball.
Yeah,
or something.
They were the
they had the masks over their face.
Yeah. At least they were protected. So, you know, you got to watch out for you never know who has it. So you just gotta take precautions for
good
everybody.
Call.
I think you never know who's
taking that doll home.
I think playing at home, it might not be as much of an advantage, but I think the fact that the Vikings play indoors and they're familiar with, you know, the field, like, I don't know, not texture, but like the how to play on that field and the building and where like different light spots and all that stuff are. And I think that could still be an advantage for them. And then going on the road, it would be way easier to go to Lambeau Field and Soldier Field and go to New Orleans and Seattle and actually have like a much better chance of getting wins in those games if there's no crowd. All this is still up in the air. There could be a crowd. There could be something where, like, the NFL's like, hey, we're gonna let you come to the games, but, you know, you got to sign a waiver that says, you know, if you get coronavirus, not our fault.
Right. I think it's going to end up being partial crowds, and I don't know that that's going to – I mean, at the end of the day, this is going to come down to money, right? And – I mean, my wife works in healthcare, you know, CRNA. We're not talking like just, you know, somebody sitting behind a desk, but she actually intubates patients, right? Okay. So like, but she said today, it came right out of her mouth. She goes, I don't see what a lot of difference is when it comes to going to a grocery store compared to going to a lot of, and that is, you're going to hear that argument as we get closer and closer to this whole thing, because that you're going to hear the owner, it all comes down to money. People can say whatever they want right now about safety and everything else, but there is just too much money at stake for everybody. It's not just the owners. Like, the players don't play, they don't get paid. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Well, you look at, what's it, baseball, they're doing their proposals and they're trying to undercut their players by paying them like 80% less. And
I still think you do half crowds or however many you can put in there for what the CDC says or whoever says. You put in half crowds.
Bring your own food.
And then you do the Twitter thing, like I said before. You pump in crowd noise based off a hashtag, so the crowd starts cheering that's there live. And within what? Probably 5 seconds, the Twitter hashtags would start pumping in crowd noise too. Like, between the two, you might not even notice like that much of a time difference, since you have the live crowd there at least making some noise and then you hear the rest of it. Like, get innovative, do something. That's just me sitting here in my living room just thinking of things they can do. Like, you pay people a lot of money to figure these things out. Like, pay, make them do their job, find out a way to do it better than the rest of the world has done it.
Well, speaking of money, the salary cap for next year is still also up in the air thanks to this whole pandemic. There's been rumors of it, you know, dropping, I don't know, like 30 million. I think Schefter threw that out there recently. And then, you know, people like Florio and stuff hop on that because they want everyone to freak out. But with the uncertainty, whether you believe it or not, surrounding, you know, next season's financials, 2021, should this cause the Vikings to wait and give Dalvin Cook an extension? Now, I'm asking you this, despite me already knowing the answer, because I've spoken to someone.
Right.
Very close to Dalvin.
Right.
About this. So I'm just gonna ask you the question. Should the Vikings wait to give Dalvin an extension, you know, not knowing what the salary cap might look next year.
Yeah, me not knowing the insider knowledge that you apparently know, I would say yes, it would make sense for the Vikings to hold off. It doesn't make as much sense for Dalvin, because while, let's say, worst case scenario, there is no season. Sure, he gets a year less of wear and tear on his body, but he's also a year older in a league where being a year older doesn't really affect you. And if you're the Vikings, you feel like you don't know what's going to happen with contracts. So if this year doesn't happen, does everybody get still the same amount of years on their contract, or do they still lose a year of their contract? That's probably going to come down to pay. If we're not, if you want your year back, then we're not paying you for this year, then you can keep your 2 years, right? Like in Dalvin's case. But if you want to get paid anything for this year, if you want 50% salary, we'll pay you 50% salary, but then you only have 1 year left on your contract. If that's the case, then that totally changes what you're doing, because you feel better about giving Dalvin an extension if he's in the last year of his deal compared to if he has 2 years left, or vice versa. Maybe you don't feel as confident if he only has 1 year left. But if you're Dalvin and you only have 1 year left, are you holding out then compared to 2 years? So there's so much that surrounds the whole thing that, yes, if I'm the Vikings, I probably wait. If I'm Dalvin, I want my money now. Maybe I go, all right, you know, I don't need that extra $2 million on the end of my deal. I'll sign it right now for what it is, if that's what's holding up the whole conversation. If I'm Dalvin, do I move a little bit in the Vikings direction to get it done? Maybe. I'm not sure.
The reason I don't think I know that it won't affect their negotiations or whatever, because I was told that even if there's some like the salary cap decreases or whatever next year, the cap hits are still for next year are going to just carry over and be spread out through the rest of the like the CBA, which I think has like 8 or 9 years left. So it's not gonna, just because the salary cap decreases next year doesn't mean that everyone's gonna have to like make massive cuts.
Right, it would be 30 million spread out over 10 years per team. Right. So it'd be like about 3 million a year or whatever instead of 30 million
and
off of 1 year.
I think like in 2014 or whenever the lockout was going on, like I guess like the salary cap was supposed to decrease and it didn't do that. They just borrowed money, like owners borrowed money or something like that. So that would be another way for them to
do the other thing too. Like you like these leagues, the teams, they go up in value so much every single year that borrowing money should be like the easiest thing of all time. Like, hey, by the way, my franchise will be worth another $300 million in 3 years. So, you know, I'm good for it.
Yeah, because they can be like, yeah, well, if you give us this money now, we'll definitely be able to pay you back.
Yeah, we'll be worth another $300 million next year. Or we win the Super Bowl, we'll be worth another $600 million, you know? Like,
and a little note on Dalvin. Somebody also told me that if he doesn't have an extension before the season, he's not playing. So
that is not a shocker. We've been talking about that for a long time.
But at the same time, the Vikings like to take care of this business before the season starts, so I don't expect anything to carry into the season as far as like a holdout or anything like that.
And you're kind of like, you saying that is the first time that we've really heard anybody say anything definitively about what Dalvin Cook would do if he doesn't get an extension. So the fact that it hasn't come out yet means that they're probably getting a deal done. Otherwise, you'd see more of the Zeke.
That'd be thrown out there and floated out there.
Yes,
like
it'd be floated somehow to reporters. Would all of a sudden find out that Dalvin might sit out, but that you haven't heard that yet, and that's for a reason because there's optimism on both sides.
Yeah, it's more of like a last resort where because they built their offense.
Exactly.
Around him, so
it's hard. To tell him you're not going to. Exactly.
Yeah, he has a lot of leverage.
That's like, just it.
He's one of the rare running backs. I think maybe you could say Christian McCaffrey. Also, even maybe Derrick Henry has a lot of leverage when it comes to negotiating a new deal. Just because those offenses have built like their whole scheme around what their running back can do. So
if this conversation were being had anytime before the year of what, like 2017, then it wouldn't even be a conversation. We'd be talking Dalvin Cook. We're paying Dalvin Cook. We're not going to not have him on his team. We're running our entire offense around him. The only reason why this is a question mark is because nobody trusts running backs anymore to play through that second contract.
Devonta Freeman.
Exactly.
Like it's Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
Like it's a case by case basis. Yep. And I think people will begin to realize that when guys like Christian McCaffrey and Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook actually like prove their worth for these contracts they're going to get.
Exactly.
All right. There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, BetOnline. NASCAR is back, and BetOnline has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get in on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. Or you can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament you can enter for free. And live right now on BetOnline's YouTube channel, you'll find an exclusive interview with ex-Chicago Bulls players Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they're calling the final dance. So visit betonline.ag and use the promo code BLUEWIRE, which is all one word, to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. We'll finish it up with which players on the Vikings roster we think are going to, you know, have a breakout season for the Vikings in 2020. I don't want to be able to pick any rookies, so I'm sorry if you've already picked a rookie for one of your selections. I just think they all have the opportunity to break out because it's their first season.
No, that's fine. Without rookies.
I want to pick one offensive guy and one defensive guy. So if you want to go first.
I think on defense, it's not obvious. There are a lot of candidates, but mine is Mike Hughes. I mean, Yep. The opportunity he's going to have, especially early on in the year, because you expect him to be guarding a lot of number one receivers, but he's never been a number one corner. So he's going to get targeted a lot. So what does he prove in those first few games where he says, you're not going to be able to throw at me all day long to your number one receiver? So I think he has to have a big year if
and
the Vikings are going to be
injury
good.
Prone tag that's yes, been put that, on him. And that people too. Are like, so he's probably got like something to prove next year to show like not only can he be a number one corner, but he can be relied on to stay on the field.
Exactly. So, the other one would be Irv Smith Jr. I think that they're going to start trying to phase Kyle Rudolph out of the offense and start not necessarily out of it, but they're going to start featuring Irv Smith Jr. more. He has everything that they want. And then you're going to see more coverage. Obviously, Thielen, you don't have Diggs anymore, but you're going to see coverage on Jefferson. You're going to see coverage on Rudolph. I think that the lack of a number three wide receiver could give him a lot more playing time. So I think he could have a breakout season for sure. And if he does, I just think it would be huge for Kirk Cousins' season. I think it's good for Jefferson's season. I think if Irv Smith Jr. comes out with a big year, I think that would be a sneaky guy that could really help along the offense in general a lot.
I was just thinking when you were saying that about when you mentioned Kyle Rudolph, I was like, oh, I think he only has like 1 year left on his contract. And I looked it up and I was like, no, he's signed until 2024.
But they have a pretty good out,
yeah,
don't they?
But if the Vikings want to get rid of him after this year, I think they free up over $5 million in cap space.
Yeah, and so, I don't think the dead cap is very much. I think they kind of
it's like $4 million. So yeah, that's a very big possibility. I don't know because they love him in Minnesota and he does the charity work. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah, we'll see how much money we have and how much that matters.
right, because you got to pay a running back.
Yes.
And then you know if Jefferson's good, you have to pay him eventually. And that's way, way down the road for, you know, because then you can cut Thielen and make everyone happy by doing that.
I was just going to say that. When, because Thielen, he got some sort of a new deal, right? But he's still underpaid.
Year, yeah. He's not underpaid.
Or did he get a new, recent deal, didn't he?
He did. He signed.
That's right.
He signed one for $64 million.
That's right.
Yeah, his average salary is $16 million. Yeah, that's probably.
That's part of why Diggs got all pissy. Probably.
Yes, because Diggs is the number one guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw him working out with Antonio Brown today. So good. Happy. Good for you, man. You know,
if you're Stephon Diggs, isn't that the one guy you would not be seen working out with?
Yeah.
Especially after all the like diva stuff you've been doing.
They just don't care.
They just don't care.
For my guys that I think will break out, because I was pretty sure you were gonna go with Irv Smith on offense, because that's a pretty easy selection. Mine might be a little there's a low hanging fruit, so I figured you'd go after it. But I'm going to go with Brian O'Neill.
Okay.
He's going to be entering his third year. Last year was his first full year as a starter, and he played really well. I just think in his third year, he's going to, in this zone blocking system again, I think he's just going to be able to thrive and like start to be recognized as one of the top right tackles in the entire NFL, and maybe even make a Pro Bowl, depending on, you know, how well maybe Dalvin Cook does this year if he gets, you know, 2,000 yards or not. So I think Brian O'Neill on the offense has a great chance to break out, as long as he doesn't run into Nick Bosa again. And then on defense, I'm going to go with – we've talked about this guy before. I'm going to go with Armin Watts. I think he's not talked about as much as some of the other guys, like the Odenebos or Jaleel Johnson on the inside. But I think Watts came in last year and he played really well for the Vikings, you know, with his opportunities that he had. I think Shamar Stephan is a big candidate to potentially be cut before the start of the season. So that's going to give Watts even more opportunities to, you know, get snaps on the field. And I think, he's going to do well in his second season with the Vikings, because he was a rookie last year and he still played pretty well. So I think Watts has a good chance to break out for the Vikings, especially if Shamar Stephan is let go. On a side note, I wrote something today about Stefon Diggs. And I wanted to just, before we go, ask you how long you think he will last in Buffalo.
It wouldn't shock me if he's out after one season.
Oh yes, I was gonna tell you, if the Bills trade or cut him after next year, I think it's only like $6 million in dead cap, and they free up $9 million in cap space.
Yeah, it could be one of those situations where it just gets so toxic so quickly.
It just doesn't work out.
How mad does he get when Josh Allen is throwing it 10 feet over his head all the time, even in practice, right? Because like. He has Kirk Cousins. You can't tell me that Kirk Cousins isn't throwing beautiful balls all day long in practice, and he's still getting pissed off. Like, what happens when he has Josh Allen throwing balls over his head in practice, into the dirt in practice, and then in the games, and he's going, this guy's never going to hit me except for randomly, and he's going to throw fits, and he's going to give locker room, speeches, and I don't know.
Well, they're in the honeymoon phase right now.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Everyone's, super pumped and excited. Diggs is going to make, they got the best I've seen. They've got the best wide receiver trio in the NFL. And I'm like, whoa. Hold on, guys. You got Cole Beasley and John Brown. And those two are making up the best trio in the league.
There's a lot of hype around Diggs. And I mean,
there is, rightfully so, though. He's been a really good receiver, but
really good, not great.
Yeah, he had never made the Pro Bowl.
He's never gone 1,110. In order to be a great receiver, you have to go 1,000 yards, 100 receptions, and 10 touchdowns. And he's never done it one time. Not once in his career has he gone 1,100. And 10. And Randy Moss did it like 5 times. Chris Carter did it like 4 times. And I think that's part of why he went to Buffalo. Because he's looking at it and going, I'm not going to have a better year than I had last year. And I still only got to 9 touchdowns. Like with Adam Thielen, like if I want those stats, I have to get to somewhere where I'm going to be Randy ratioed. And like you said, who is Cole Beasley and John Brown? Like, stop. These guys aren't, that's not Adam Thielen. Like, so he's going there because he wants to get Randy ratioed, but it doesn't matter when every time you get targeted, half the time it's not hitting you. So that's going to upset him. So it wouldn't shock me if it turns into, speaking of Randy Moss, Randy Moss 2010 situation where he's throwing food in cooks' faces and not wanting to do anything and causing problems and everybody wants him out. I mean, no shock.
I'm curious to see how Diggs acts. I think you said this on the episode you had, I think last week with Brian, where Diggs is wide open down the field and Josh Allen decides to tuck it and run for 3 or 4 yards. Because he did have the second most rushing attempts by a quarterback last year behind Lamar Jackson. So he's going to do that. And Diggs is gonna have to either live with it or just figure out a way to get out of there. Maybe this might be like a situation like Randy Moss, where he went to the Raiders.
Right.
And everyone thought, oh, he's gonna be great and make the Raiders so good. And then his quarterback was Kerry Collins.
Yeah.
And so that obviously didn't last very long. And then he went to the Patriots and got, a lot better. So, hopefully Diggs doesn't land with somebody like he goes with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers gets to throw to him.
That would be gross.
That would be terrible.
That would be bad. I would be afraid of that. Now, right. Josh Allen, I'm not afraid of Josh Allen.
Because he's with a good quarterback who knows, those guys. And
he would have the respect level. Like, here's the other thing that I wonder, too. Like, Kirk Cousins isn't the most respected.
If Aaron Rodgers misses a throw, he's not going
Kirk Cousins, he's not the most respected. Brian and I talked about this. He's not the most respected quarterback in the entire NFL. But when Diggs was complaining, he wasn't necessarily going to go, all right, I got to throw all the balls to Diggs so that he stops yelling at me. Josh Allen, I don't know if Josh Allen's that guy. What happens when he tucks it and runs it for
three? He's going to force it.
Yeah, he's
going
to start force. Yes, that's what I mean. So he takes that one, he tucks it and runs for 3 or 4 yards. Diggs gets pissed off, goes to the sideline, yells at him in his face, spit flying out of his mouth, hitting Josh Allen in the face, coronavirus engaged. And then all of a sudden Josh Allen's going, I don't want coronavirus again. So he starts throwing at Diggs constantly and interception. Like, that's what I'm saying, and that's why it worries me. Comes to Rodgers is just gonna be like drinking his soda and being like, I don't care, man. I'll hit you next time, maybe I won't. So
Rodgers is sort of like Cousins, and if the fullback's open, he's gonna throw to the fullback.
Exactly.
You know, not as much as Cousins, because Cousins for some reason loves throwing 2 yard passes to CJ.
It's a lot safer, even if the guy down the field is open.
1 yard. I'm very curious with Diggs. I want him to do well. I think people always get the wrong impression too of Vikings fans, like, you know, commenting on Diggs now and saying that it's not going to work out in Buffalo, that like we want him to fail. No, I want him to do well. I liked watching Diggs when he was with the Vikings, and I think he's fun to watch too. He's got, you know, cool celebrations or whatever when he scores and he makes exciting plays. But where he is, where he's now in the offense, which is a lot like the Vikings offense because they like to run the ball, it just doesn't look like he's going to be as happy. I think he's talking about respecting Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to respect Kirk Cousins a lot more after a few games with Josh Allen.
I'm just petty. Like, the more the more that we talk about Diggs and the more that his stands come out of the woodwork and stand up for him when they shouldn't, the more I want him to fail. Like, it's not nothing against him. Diggs hasn't done anything personal to me, and I wasn't mad at him when he demanded out. No. All right, fine. You want to be the big top dog somewhere? That's fine. It's his stance. It's just like the NDSU fans when it comes to the Gophers, like, and me fighting on Twitter. I don't dislike the NDSU.
Is that a community college?
Yeah, something like that. Community college. I don't know. D3, something. But, like, I don't dislike the NDSU football program. Their stands make me want the NDSU football program.
Oh, you're the heel. You're feeding off their anger.
If without what's happened over the last year with NDSU football, I would want them to pull the upset over Oregon this coming year. Like, that stuff is fun to watch. But this year, like, now with everything that's happened, I'm going to watch that with popcorn and just hope Oregon beats them by 40. And I'm going to be on Twitter the whole time. It's got nothing to do with NDSU, the program. It's got everything to do with their fans. It's the same exact way with Diggs and all of his stands that stick up for him no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you don't know that he wants out. He just tweeted that he wants out. Oh, you don't know that he wants out. All right, I guess I don't really know.
He was talking about his relationship with his girlfriend.
That's the stuff that just drives me up a wall.
The Diggs stands. Also, I think I'm too old to be staying Stan.
me too.
Even though it originated when we were in high school. But I think they're a lot like the people who will hate on Kirk Cousins no matter what he does or how well he plays too. I think they're sort of similar, because Kirk Cousins can really, if he won a Super Bowl for some of these people, they'd be like, well, they did it in spite of Kirk Cousins.
Correct.
So those two groups are very similar. Maybe they're the same.
And Kirk Cousins will throw 40 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, but if it was Teddy Bridgewater, he would throw 20 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, half the yards, and they'd be like, he led him with his heart to the Super Bowl.
MVP. MVP. It's not about the stats.
No, it's all about the heart, man.
But then Kirk Cousins puts out the stats, and it's not about the stats.
No, not about the stats.
That's, yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. It's the off season, so, and it's the coronavirus off season, so there really isn't a whole lot to talk about. Make sure to follow the podcast on Twitter at Bleeding Purple. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you know what? I forgot to do the ad read, but I'm gonna throw that in afterwards. I knew I was missing something.
Cut it in in the middle.
Oh, I will.
There you go.
It's not Blue Chew, so it won't be as fun, but I'll throw it in there. But yeah, follow the podcast on Twitter at Bleeding Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're pretty much everywhere. Go check out thevikingage.com. I'm back and writing. The site is saved again. No, they did fine while I was gone. They did
this
really
podcast
well,
is saved.
Yeah, yeah. With the podcast is saved, everything's. I'm back. Lacking sleep, but I'm back. Then go check out, you know, Eric's site, MinnesotaSportsFan.com. They're doing well. They just hired a bunch of new writers, so he's trying to figure out, you know,
so much happening.
How to manage all those guys. So yeah. It's real fun. They're even covering soccer now.
Yeah, we had European kickball on our website the other day.
And eventually they're going to be doing WNBA. So it's going to be...
Everybody's going to like us then.
Oh, yeah. Just hopping on the bandwagon. So until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye, fam.